What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
And I am Keith Finch.
And this is Jack. Say hi, Jack. Anyway, this episode of Gun Day
Django.
Brunch is
That
brought to
sounds
you
good.
by Taurus USA and guns.com. Taurus USA, where affordable does not make cheap, reliable firearms for the people. We make guns. Guns.com, they sell them. They make content. Great dudes. Go check them out. So, today we are talking about it's funny that the topic is appropriate because I did a very it's a so we're talking about gun nerds versus gun nuts and trying to explain the difference. And it's funny because I did one of those things like in my niche that is one or the other, because I went and bought a Subaru, a new car yesterday. I got a Subaru Forester, and I did the nerd thing, and I got the Forester Wilderness Edition because it's the top of the level, and it gives me the ability to, drive up a 30-degree gravel incline in the rain or something like that, because
On your
that
way
happens a
to
lot on the way to Publix. So,
Publix.
but it's very much a gun nerd sort of thing where you're like, do I need this extra capability? Will I ever in any universe need more off-road capability than a standard Subaru Forester offers? Probably not, but I got it.
But I got it.
I got it.
Why? Because I can. It's part of
So,
the
Keith, why don't you
printing.
explain the difference between a gun nut and a gun nerd for the people?
All right, the people. I'm sure you've heard both terms. Gun nerd has been the newer one, I suppose. It may be resurgent, but I've never heard it prior to the last few years. And I started hearing it more associated with Ian over at Forgotten Weapons than anywhere else. He kind of spawned the good old gun Jesus kind of spawned the gun nerd, offshoot of the gun nut. Now, the gun nut is a guy named Cletus McBuck, who wears overalls, just overalls, nothing else, and buried his Mosin Nagant in the backyard of his friend's property, in order then the blue helmeted folk of the United Nations do decide to declare martial law in the United States. He can go dig up said Mosin Nagant with a spam can of old rusty, salty primered 7.62 by 54R, and take on those blue helmeted fools the way Uncle Sam and George Washington would have intended, or some other variant of that fantasy.
Man, remember when like the blue helmets, like at what was it, like the I would say the mid to late 90s, everyone was worried about like the blue helmets, a UN invasion, and
There was a resurgence in the early 2010s, too, early to mid 2010s, because there were a few instances where there were UN marked vehicles being moved around the United States, and everyone's like, "What are they for?" And it's like, "Those are from Oshkosh. They were built in Wisconsin."
Yeah, they're very American. I remember, well, because I remember the boy, this conspiracy theory feels so dated at this point. But I remember like the real lunatics, and I mean the genuine lunatics who were like, Obama's gonna instate martial law after because everyone, well, not everyone, the crazy people were like, Obama's gonna declare himself dictator and get a third term, and he's gonna suspend the Constitution, and he's gonna use the UN troops to invade. And I was
Haven't
like,
we had that conspiracy for every sitting president in our lifetimes at this point?
I feel like we didn't have it for George Bush Jr. I feel like when George Bush Jr. was done, everyone was like, oh no, this is a man who clearly wants to quit.
You know what? And I think I was young during the Bill Clinton era, but I think Clinton went the same way. And like while during his time in office, that was the rumor with Obama. Barack Obama looked very done by the time he was
Oh
done.
yeah,
That
man, he
man
aged
was
like
tired.
80 years in the span of eight. The president, the presidency put some miles on that boy.
Oh.
But so yes, a gun
So,
nut
gun nut.
is the person who buys a crate of Mosin Nagant or a crate of SKSs so they can arm their friends, but doesn't have any friends.
Yeah, that successfully. So, gun nut being the mildly derogatory term it is, it's loved It's beloved by anti-gun people to describe all of us, but in the gun space, it's definitely reserved for that. Oh, you are no, you don't just have screws loose; they are missing. This thing's just barely hanging on to the
Like, what is
front here.
happening right
Yep.
now?
Whereas a
And
gun nerd or gun hipster is a very, very different flavor of bury it in the backyard, right? The gun nerd buries a model M1903 in the backyard because he has discovered that the soil in his backyard has a certain chemical and acidic content that will give the gun the proper patina if he leaves it in the soil for exactly 95 hours at a specific humidity, right? That's a gun
it'll end up
nerd.
fucking looking like it'll look exactly like the guns from the Cid or the, how do you say it? CN scene? I don't know. I don't speak no
Yep.
French. It's actually not true. I
It'll
speak
look
French.
exactly like they did in Bella Wood.
Yeah, exactly. That is a gun nerd. And like,
That's
so,
gun nerdom right there.
you know, it's funny because like
Also see cloners, although they are angry gun nerds sometimes.
cloners are very angry gun nerds. So a gun nerd is basically, to put it in pop culture terms, a gun nerd is someone who has seen every single bit of Star Wars media that has ever been created, and has strong opinions about which one is best, but also isn't insufferable about it.
Correct.
A gun nut is someone who thinks that the original expanded universe books are the best Star Wars media that was created other than the original trilogies, and won't ever shut up about it, and won't ever stop complaining about anything that doesn't conform exactly to his specific interpretation of what Star Wars
Of
should be like.
what is best Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. So
And we can take that for any nerddom subset. Take Lord of
Yeah,
the
it's
Rings,
really the
take
difference
Star Trek.
between, it's the difference between like a super passionate person and someone who has maybe got, honestly, just maybe gotten a little bit out of control. And
Yeah.
there's nothing inherently wrong, and there's nothing wrong with being a gun nut. Be very clear. I used to run the third most trap the shoot the gun gun blog back when gun blogs were a thing. I used to have the third most trafficked gun blog on the entire ass internet, and it was called gunnuts.net. And the whole point of that was acknowledging the history of it as a derogatory term and sort of turning it around. And you know, it's like, because like, here's the thing. If I look at someone and I say, oh, that guy's a gun nut, what I mean is that guy has a very, like, that guy has way too many Mohs and Nagants, right? Like, that guy needs to, if he took all of those Mohs and Nagants
We
and he,
all know one, and most people know one who's got like 100 guns in the basement. None of those guns would retail for more than $300 even today.
right. And then you have a, your, and then I will look over at my friends. And I will say, for example, Tamra Keel is a gun nerd. Tamra Keel has Smith and Wessons that I didn't know existed. Tamra Keel has Smith and Wessons that Smith and Wesson probably don't know existed at the like the current iteration of Smith and Wesson was like, we used to make that? Yeah, you did. Yeah. So that is a gun. Larry Correia is a gun nerd. Actually, I don't even know if Larry Correia is a gun nerd. Larry Correia might just be an enthusiast. Like, I don't know if he's got like, so to me, what really creates the defining characteristic of a gun nerd is that there's some specific niche of the hobby
You
that they artistically
have a
obsess
next
over.
level of like esoteric knowledge in some aspect of gun knowledge nerdery. Like you have one aspect of it, be it Smith and Wesson revolvers, be it mid 20th century development of the battle rifle system, be it the different components of brass or how the hell a scope is made from top to bottom. You have some esoteric, just deeply detailed knowledge of one of these aspects, and you have a lot of fun with it, right?
Here's an example. If you can, without looking at your phone, explain the difference between G1 and G7 ballistic coefficient, you are a gun
You are a
nerd.
gun nerd.
You are a big old dirty nerd. Because I can't, and I and that's the thing, right? Like I am, I am fully a gun nerd, especially when you bring up the topic of revolvers and performance shooting with revolvers and stuff like that. And sort of
Auto
like,
loading rifles. I love auto loading rifles.
and bolt
Or like,
ups.
oh, M4s are boring. I'm like, yeah, but I like every single version of these guns.
You're
And
like,
I'm,
all of
ooh,
these are
that's a
my
machine
favorite
and it works.
things.
And I want to know how.
Yeah, well, and I think what's interesting in all of this, right, is one, obviously the language. You know, the language of gun nut was originally intended to be pejorative. And I just want to be clear, we're not using it in a pejorative manner. And if you get your feelings hurt by us saying that the guy with 30 Mosins in his basement is a gun nut and kind of weird, you're the guy with 30 Mosins in his basement and you're kind of weird. Go outside, touch some grass, do a push-up.
Say hi to your
But
neighbors. They're probably okay people.
yeah, as a matter of fact, I can almost guarantee that your neighbors are okay people. But like the idea is, you know, we've talked a lot about unhealthy obsessions, and it's very easy for gun nerd to cross over into gun nut.
Oh, it
And
can
it's
happen.
like, it's when you start, and for me, that line is again when I start becoming insufferable about stuff. And it's not, I don't think it's a hard line either. I think it's a very, very blurry line, and we're, you know, like treading back and forth on it. For example,
It
in
takes some social IQ. It takes some social cues and knowing human interactive, because those are subjective spaces, right? You're dealing with other people who also hold opinions and who have a certain level of knowledge and expertise on the subject you are dealing with. So you might cross the line into insufferable for them without being in your realm of what you would consider insufferable. And there might be a way to negotiate that very politely and get everybody. It's like, no, life is fine. And then there's crossing both those lines where, or at least the line where you should know, like you should know you're the asshole in this situation. You're just not acknowledging it because, fuck you, I am right.
I think
And
a good
there
example,
are very few situations in which fuck you, I am right is the correct answer.
every now and then one does come up.
It
Every
does
now and then,
in every now and then you must lay down that law, but there's decorum to getting to that point. You must have exhausted the other options.
I mean, we got to work our way through a bunch of stuff before we get to the part where I just say, you, I'm right, which there's a lot of stuff to work through to get to that. Now, what is interesting, like I can think of examples, you know, in my own life of when I have definitely gone from, you know, gun nerd into gun nut territory. And, you know, again, it's on like the revolver thing, right? Like if I am, you know, sitting here making a case for why there have been times where I have gotten a little bit out of my, not out of my lane, over my skis with like recommending revolvers to people. And I'm like, oh, hang on, Caleb. This might be your personal enthusiasm for this particular niche overshadowing what is actually best for the individual in this moment. That is being a gun nut. That's being a, that's like, my thing is the best thing. And it's not, you know, I like my thing. My
It's
thing's pretty awesome.
getting because I've done that with various products, and I would hop product to product in the younger days too, maximum shilling whatever thing that I thought was good at the time. And objectively, it comes back to the fact that, oh, my thing isn't the best. It is just a good option among good options. Like this too is good option.
And good options are super important to have for people. The friggin', I think one of the other problems that we run into sometimes is that, you know, to your point, we have to have a level of social intelligence to be able to do this at all. And I think that, again, because we're nerds, because we're very passionate about these things, it is easy to forget that not everyone is, not everyone, like, I know most people aren't as passionate about me as double action revolvers. So I can usually retain a sense of appropriateness on that.
I think
what.
you and I have had an observable advantage in a number of instances because we've had to teach people both in and outside the military. So we've had captive required audiences and then voluntary commercial audiences. And both of those have been at widely variant skill levels and enthusiasm levels, not just skill levels, but enthusiasm levels. How much do they want to engage with the topic? And so I think we've been able to observe better than most. And so let's consider this the PSA part of the Gun Day Brunch episode, in that take a second and try and maintain awareness, guys. Because you have to scale your level of nerdery with your audience's perception. Because if you just shotgun blast all this information, understand from an instructor standpoint, 90% of that is coming out this end because it's a info set or it's a skill set that needs repeated exposure and contextualization, and that does take time. I can't just be like blah 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 5.56 blah blah effective range blah blah blah. Gas piston system, blah 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 blah
Gas
blah
piss,
blah,
blah 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 blah.
and then expect a decent amount of retention. It,
Yeah.
especially if I'm dealing with an audience that doesn't even know like this is what semi-automatic means.
Right. Well, and I think that's actually a really good point. Scale your level of enthusiasm for the audience, right? Like, I could talk most people into boredom about why I think the cylinder release mechanism on Colt revolvers is an inherent weak point over the cylinder release mechanism on Taurus and Smith and Wesson revolvers, which are very similar. I'm the only person who cares about that conversation. Well, maybe, I guess, I don't know, me and Daryl Bulkey might care about
Yeah,
that
you, Daryl,
conversation.
maybe Tam.
Yeah,
Like,
exactly.
that's it.
But
Nope, Caleb, you can have four of
yeah,
you.
but and that's the thing, right? Like, it's important when we're trying to avoid. So I was on Sophia Fit for Fia's podcast the other day, and I was talking about how I don't believe that the majority of people who are anti-gun arrived at that conclusion out of bad intentions, right? I think that the majority of
I don't
people,
think they did either. No.
I and so then if I want to preserve the shooting sports, and I want to preserve our access to, because here's the thing. This is a constitutional right, da 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 da, all of that stuff, but it's also a hobby that we want to retain access to. And retaining access to that hobby is in many ways subject to the whims of the people, because we have seen in our lifetimes broad public opinion shift in favor of broad gun ownership, right? Like, but we
We
could.
saw that pendulum swing back in our direction in a very major way. Like gun rights have improved a lot in 20 years. In the
Which
last 20 years, it has been
then.
dramatic. And yeah, there have been some losses, specifically at state level in certain locations. But if you look at that scoreboard, especially at the Supreme Court level, we're ahead. And it's ours to lose.
And that's the point. It's ours to lose. And I think that one of the things that we need to be cognizant of is that you and me and all of our other gun nerd friends, we are the ambassadors for all of this, right? Like, we're the people that go out there, we have the conversations, we're the ones making, talking to our friends, and
And you, audience, you are probably your friend group's gun nerd friend. Why?
yeah.
Because watching two gun nerds talk on the internet right
In
now.
everybody's friend group, you are the gun nerd friend, right? So try to be a good
Be the good gun
steward
nerd.
of that. And oh, fuck off. Sorry, I'm unfortunately trying to multitask, which is never the right thing to do when I'm doing one of these.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, right? Why are we like,
My
what again?
Facebook post covers that rather nicely, though.
Like, why are we like this? We
Autism.
just, yeah, autism. What was it your boss said? The firearms industry functions on a combination of autism and ADHD.
Yep, that was pretty much word for word my post. I used the lyrics to remember the name in a creative manner.
I love it. So anyway, guys, so the idea is okay. Let me try to bring this episode back on
Read.
the rails here a little bit as I'm, formatting. I'm formatting a PowerPoint with one hand, talking to you on the other hand, planning my vacation on the other hand. Be a gun nerd. We're gun nerds. Be a gun nut. It's okay to be a gun nut. Don't be insufferable. This is
Yeah,
the
you can hop into gun nut territory sometimes. It's okay. You can be accused of being a gun nut. That's fine. We get accused of it all the time. You should wear that as a bit of a badge of honor, especially among certain audiences. But make sure that as you are steering those conversations as much as possible, be the gun nerd, right? Be that good ambassador of gun ownership.
Yeah,
We're
basically
passionate about it. This is fun. They're good to own. They have a number of different reasons that you can own them, including the important constitutional ones and personal protective ones. But like 99% of the time, being the insufferable asshole about it is going to lose you that argument, not gain us any points. And everyone in the room will have been dumber for listening to it. I award you no points.
You should make
I have
gun
no.
ownership seem cool, not like something that creepy weirdos do in their basement. That is, I mean, that's that we said about most hobbies, right? Like, what? Let's think about this. What hobby? Let's think outside our lane here. What hobby can you think of that has the perception of being full of the most insufferable douchebags imaginable?
Oh, I know ones that have in the past and they've made gains.
Okay, give me one
Warhammer
of those.
40K comes to mind.
What does?
Warhammer 40K.
Oh yeah, video games. Video
Yep.
games
Video
used to
games
be
are another
cons
one.
video games used to be considered exclusively the province of dorks in their basement, like nerds. And video games are now more mainstream than movies, right? Like, friggin', they
And
make
it is
m
a it is a absolutely larger market share with way more eyeballs, way more exposure time, massive media.
Video games drive culture in many ways. Like when you see, and so that's a really good example. An example of a hobby that I think has a negative reputation in general, road cycling,
Yeah.
road bikes, people who bicycle on the roads. I cannot think of someone who isn't a road cyclist who doesn't hate those guys a little bit. And it's not because they're slow and they're on their roads. It's that every time you have a social interaction with them, all they can talk about is how, oh, well, I was out on my bike and oh, these cars almost sideswiped me and da da, it's so dangerous. And okay, if it's that dangerous, get the fuck off the road, homie.
And that drifts into the realm of like, just who makes a thing their entire personality?
I mean,
I definitely could be considered guilty or have been considered guilty of that in the
do you see
past.
my Facebook post yesterday? Or
Yep.
Instagram? I did it on Facebook and Instagram. So for people who didn't, when I was 12, I, like many 12-year-old boys, collected comic books. And there is a particular comic book. So if you are of our age, you remember a TV show called Batman the Animated Series, which to me is still the
That
definitive
is the
interpretation of
Batman.
Batman. Like
That is
that's
the
Batman. That's my
Batman.
Batman, right? That will always be my
But
Batman.
I like the Christian Bale trilogy. I really enjoyed that interpretation of it. It did not surpass Batman the Animated Series.
No, Batman the Animated Series was my Batman, is my Batman, will always be my Batman. So for people who don't know, there was a spin-off comic book of that called The Batman Adventures. And I loved it. That was my favorite comic book as a kid. And in issue 15, this is what the imprint that this made on me. Issue 15 is a cool issue because it focuses entirely around Commissioner Gordon. And in the Batman animated universe, Commissioner Gordon is a Vietnam veteran, former Green Beret, right? Like he is a straight bad motherfucker.
Like you think Batman has skills? Gordon also has skills, and he's been around longer.
So there's this bit in issue 15 where like five bad guys get the drop on him and he whips out his revolver and he says, considering this my advanced age and the fact that this is a revolver, I can only probably get the first three of you that move. Who's it gonna be? And you're just like, and I read that when I was 12, and that was the tightest shit I'd ever read in my life. And I was like, this is going to be my entire personality forever. Revolvers, being grumpy. Like, this is it. I'm sign me up. Inject this into
I
my.
have found my role in this world. I am embracing it.
So, you know, I don't judge too harshly, maybe, if people want to make something their entire
No. If you
personality.
are passionate about a thing and it is a big part of what you enjoy here in this life, by all means, share that. Enjoy that. But keep that little grain of salt in the back of your mind, in the back of your mouth, wherever you want to keep the grain of salt, I guess. And
The back of your mouth? The
back of your
fuck?
mouth. Well, salt.
Well, a little treat for later.
A little treat for it's not
That's
the sure.
what having a mustache like this.
Yes.
Do you guys remember when we had the AI mustaches a couple of months ago? This one is real, and when I tell you it's about talk about saving some little treats for later, like you're like, scotch. 20 minutes later, more scotch found it in the mustache. Like
Scotch,
it's like
bonus scotch for later.
bonus scotch. It's fantastic.
But keep that little thought in the back of your mind that like am I being too much with this for my audience? Can I do I have to take this from 11 back to 9? I might enjoy being at 11, but I can also enjoy being back at 9 or 8. And if my audience enjoys me at 9 or 8 instead of 11, I should take that into consideration as a good steward of all of this. And that goes for any of your hobbies. If you're into, CrossFit, yoga, cycling, Dungeons and Dragons, guns, whatever.
You said CrossFit, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the other hobby full of insufferable people. But you know what's funny? And I'm actually going to take
And
that
I
back because
genuinely think
that's
most
died
CrossFitters
off.
get a
Like,
bad rap. I think they feel bad now, like, oh, we might have gone too hard, my bro. And I'm like,
because you don't
but
really
yeah,
hear
it's a
the
workout
CrossFit bros
routine, my guy.
anymore. They're now, because I think one of the best things that CrossFit did was it, in many ways, like the dry fire revolution did, was it democ CrossFit, Ben Steger's books, some of the other dry fire primers out there really democratized access to good training, well, some good training information. So you see more people than ever in the gym doing lit, doing Olympic lifts, right? Deadlifting, squatting, things like that. And these people have never been to a CrossFit gym. They don't know. They don't even. They probably are familiar with what CrossFit is, but they bought a kettlebell because you could do a really good workout with kettlebells. Like, there's only, as an aside, if I could only own one piece of fitness equipment for the rest of my life, it would be a 45-pound kettlebell. That would be the thing that I would own if there was only one. If there was two, and I had room for it. A rowing machine and a kettlebell, but then, So, anyways, that's all Caleb getting side notes.
Caleb Giddings, fitness expert.
Let's go. I let my personal trainer certification lapse a long time ago. So I don't think that, I don't think that, 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 I don't think I qualify as an expert anymore.
Not EX, just X. Expert.
Former retired expert. All right, guys. Well, I think that is it for this kind of disjointed episode where I'm technically on vacation. Keith is drinking coffee and trying to do four things at once, but we got one in the can. So you're fucking welcome. Like, share, subscribe. According to all of the experts, I'm supposed to say this stuff at the top of the at the top of the show.
But because we have
And
the ADHD, we don't.
we don't. And if you would like to submit, I want to do a Q&A episode. So if you want to send in questions, send your questions to caleb@gunnutsmedia.com. There's that old
There
URL
we
that I don't
go.
lose
Still
anymore.
active.
Still out there. caleb@gunnutsmedia.com. Send us your questions for the show. We'll talk about them. Deuces. We're out.